Morning, Oregon, and happy Friday. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for joining me, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story is part two of a two-part presentation of the Oregon story of Frankie Baker. The Frankie Baker of Frankie and Johnny fame. It was originally published on April 1st of 2021 under the headline Johnny's Frankie Lived in Portland Hiding from a Song. Now yesterday in part one of this story, we heard about the shooting of Al Britt by his one-time sweetheart, Frankie Baker. Yeah, it was complicated. You'll have to circle back and listen to yesterday's episode if you're not familiar, but the important thing to keep in mind here is Al Britt was a piano player, and you know what they say about shooting the piano player. Well, within a few days of the shooting, a new ragtime tune was being played around the sporting houses of St. Louis. Professor Bill Dooley wrote it. He called it Frankie Killed Albert, apparently assuming Al was short for Albert and not Alan. In the song's lyrics, after learning she is being dumped for Alice, Frankie pulls a giant .44 revolver out from under her slinky hooker's kimono, coldly listens as Albert begs for his life, and then puts five rounds into his back as he flees down the stairs. Al Britt's parents objected, and the piano professors obligingly changed the lyrics to Frankie Killed Johnny. Alice Pryor's name also got changed to Nellie Bly, a reference to the 1850 Stephen Foster minstrel song, not the journalist. But Frankie stayed Frankie, and soon everybody in St. Louis knew her name. Frankie tried to stick it out, waiting for the fuss to die down. But that song was a masterpiece, one of the best ragtime tunes ever composed, and it showed no signs of losing popularity. The notoriety bothered her, and you can imagine what it did to her love life. She made it one more year in St. Louis and then gave up, and after drifting from town to town for a while, ended up in Omaha, Nebraska. Everywhere she went, that song followed her. In 1904, Huey Cannon made a version of it in sheet music, and it was published nationwide under the title He Done Me Wrong. 4 years later, another version came out, this one titled Bill, You Done Me Wrong. Then, in 1912, Bill, You Done Me Wrong was retitled Frankie and Johnny and republished with white singer Gene Green making the first recording of it, and from that point on, there was nowhere in Omaha that Frankie could hide from it. Then some friends in Portland sent her a letter inviting her to come out to the Rose Festival. She did, and found to her delight that nobody was humming Frankie and Johnny, and that hardly anybody knew who she was or cared. Before I continue, let me read to you the lyrics to the Tell Taylor edition of Frankie and Johnny, which is probably the closest to the canonical version we've got. Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. They had a quarrel one day. Johnny, he vowed he would leave her, said he was going away. He's never coming home, he's going away to Rome. Frankie, she begged and pleaded, cried, oh, Johnny, please stay. She says, my honey, I've done you wrong, but please don't go away. Then Johnny sighed and to his Frankie cried. Chorus. Oh, I'm going away and I'm going to stay. I'm never coming home. You're going to miss me, hun, in the days to come when the winter winds begin to blow, the ground is covered with snow. You'll think of me and you'll wish to be back with your loving man. You're going to miss me, hun, in the days, days, days to come. Verse 2. Frankie says, listen now, Johnny, prove my love is true. Every dollar I can save, dear, I'm going to give to you. So I think now, dear, that ought to keep you here. Johnny says, listen now, Frankie, I don't want to tell no lie. I've lost my heart to another queen. Her name is Nellie Bly. Then Frankie groaned as her Johnny moaned, and we go into the chorus. Verse 3. Frankie then said to her Johnny, say, man, your hour is come. From under her silk kimono, she drew a .44 gun. Oh, it was a bear, 'twas quite a large affair. Johnny, he dashed down the stairway, crying, oh, Frankie, don't shoot. Frankie took aim with her .44 five times with a rooty toot toot as Johnny fell, then Miss Frankie yelled. Chorus. Verse 4. Send for your rubber-tired hearses. Go get your rubber-tired hacks. Take lovin' Johnny to the graveyard. I shot him in the back with my great big gun just as he went to run. Send for 1,000 policemen, detectives right away. Lock me down in the dungeon cell and throw the key away. My Johnny's dead, just because he said. Chorus. So, yeah, that was the song. That isn't the only version, though, as we shall discuss a little bit later. I do think it's kind of hilarious, though. Many years ago, I actually had a kimono, not a silk one, a cotton one, that I used as a bathrobe around the house. Can't remember where I got it from. Anyway, I also at one point owned a .44 revolver, and I gotta tell you, it wouldn't work. Those two items would not go together. The gun would be a super uncomfortable load in a kimono. Anyway, in Portland, Frankie set up housekeeping in the Old North End, the notorious waterfront district where loggers and sailors came to party, and not many years before, to be shanghaied. What she did there isn't clear. Most likely she ran a boarding house, possibly a St. Louis-style sporting one. Around 1925, Frankie, now almost 50, decided it was time to become a respectable businesswoman. She opened a shoe-shining parlor at 5th and Flanders. But by the 1930s, her health had begun to fail, and soon she was unable to continue working. Frankie ended up sitting at home for days in her little house, watching her savings dwindle away. And that's where she was and what she was doing when Mae West's blockbuster film She Done Him Wrong premiered in 1933. The film injected Frankie Mania back into popular culture once again. And this time, because of her circumstances, it hit Frankie especially hard. "They've been writing about me and making money for years," she complained in her interview with McClure for Daring Detective, which was conducted about that same time. "One fella made $25,000 on a book about Frankie and Johnny, and here I am sick and almost broke. Now this Mae West makes a picture and sings Frankie and Johnny and takes things right out of my life. I'm good and sore." So, in April 1938, Frankie Baker sued, seeking $200,000 in damages. In the court filing, she charged that the film portrayed her as a harlot, adulteress, and murderer, and that it was, quote, "an undue and unwarranted invasion of her right of privacy in that it portrays for commercial purposes matters affecting her private and personal life and holds her up to ridicule, scorn, and contempt." The case got a lot of press. It played out in St. Louis courts. Frankie testified. Al Britt's aged father testified. The movie company's lawyers introduced strained arguments claiming Frankie and Johnny's story was around long before the shooting, and various people who had been around St. Louis in the 1890s also weighed in. But Frankie failed to convince the jury that she hadn't been some sort of bad girl back in the day. Ostensibly, that shouldn't have mattered, but to a middle-class, mostly white jury in the late 1930s, it did, and they found in favor of the defendants. This legal misadventure depleted Frankie's resources almost completely. She returned to Portland and ran her shoe-shining business as long as she was able. She joined Portland's Urban League as one of its very first members and contributed to her community as best she could. But by 1949, she was tapped out. Her business was closed, she'd lost her house, and she was eking out a living on her Social Security benefits. Thank goodness she at least had those. The loss of her home seems to have prompted a nervous breakdown for Frankie, which in turn got her committed to Pendleton's Eastern Oregon State Hospital, which was a kind of low-level insane asylum, in the spring of 1950. She did not improve, and she was still a patient there when she died in January of 1952. Frankie Baker's story is half inspiration, half cautionary tale. She made her own way in the world for most of her life, despite some serious headwinds, and for the most part, she lived on her own terms. But she was hounded throughout her life and beyond by a catchy ditty composed by a colleague of her late piano-playing boyfriend, a ditty in which all the names had been changed but hers. The last verse of the most common version of Frankie and Johnny goes, "This story has no moral, this story has no end." But that's not true. There is a moral to her story, and it's this. No matter who he is, no matter what he's done, never shoot the piano player. Key sources in this story have included works by John R. David and the Missouri Folklore Journal, along with bluegrassmessengers.com. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. And by the way, if you haven't yet, check out our Offbeat Oregon books. They're a lot like these columns, only expanded and updated to take advantage of a less restrictive format. We've got Heroes and Rascals of Old Oregon, Love, Sex, and Murder in Old Oregon, Bad Ideas and Horrible People in Old Oregon, and eventually the plan is for 8 of them to be out, although how many there are out right now depends on when you hear this. They're a lot of fun and would look great on your bookshelf. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com to explore all the other things we do or to find the full citations and visuals that go with today's show. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Offbeat Oregon History episodes are uploaded every weekday morning at around 6 a.m., so it'll be a couple of days before you get your next fix. But of course, Monday morning will be here before we know it. And that's the latest news from here in Offbeat Oregon's Sulphur Springs studio. So now it's time for you and me both to go out there and fill up the rest of the day and the weekend with good stuff. Bye now.